just a few clicks, free of charge from the internet.
It's time to talk about censorship.
Send this song to 20 people.
And isn't it stealing?
At your name, don't break the cycle.
From people to people.
Pass it along.
People like MP3s.
Pass it along.
How about trying this future on for size?
But it's one for the money.
Spectators, but not participants.
But it's one for the money.
Spectators, but not participants.
You can't legislate people's behavior.
We do what we want to do, you know. If they consider that selling out, then whatever. Whatever. Whatever.
Who run Napster should be in prison.
It's time to talk about censorship.
Send this song to 20 people.
And isn't it stealing?
At your name, don't break the cycle.
From people to people.
Pass it along.
People like MP3s.
Pass it along.
Does a consumer want to download music for free?
No matter how much legal action you put behind this, people are going to do what they want to do. People are going to do what they want to do.
Not all piracy is wrong if that term is understood in the way that it is increasingly used today. Many kinds of piracy are useful and productive to produce either new content or new ways of doing business. Neither our tradition nor any tradition has ever banned all piracy in that sense of the term. That doesn't mean that there are no questions raised by the latest piracy concern, peer-to-peer file sharing. But it does mean that we need to understand the harm in peer-to-peer sharing a bit more before we condemn it to the gallows with the charge of piracy. One, like the original Hollywood, P2P sharing escapes an overly controlling industry, and two, like the original recording industry, it simply exploits a new way to distribute content. But three, unlike cable TV, no one is selling the content that is shared on P2P services. These differences distinguish P2P sharing from true piracy. They should push us to find a way to protect artists while enabling this sharing to survive. Piracy 2. The key to the piracy that the law aims to quash is a use that robs the author of his profit. This means we must determine whether and how much P2P sharing harms before we know how strongly the law should seek to either prevent it or find an alternative to assure the author of his profit. Peer-to-peer sharing was made famous by Napster, but the inventors of the Napster technology had not made any major technological innovations. Like every great advance in innovation on the internet, and arguably off the internet as well, Sean Fanning and crew had simply put together components that had been developed independently. The result was spontaneous combustion. Launched in July 1999, Napster amassed over 10 million users within 9 months. After 18 months, there were close to 80 million registered users of the system. Quartz quickly shut Napster down, but other services emerged to take its place. Kazaa is currently the most popular P2P service. It boasts over 100 million members. These services systems are different architecturally, though not very different in function. Each enables users to make content available to any number of other users. With a P2P system, you can share your favorite songs with your best friend, or your 20,000 best friends. According to a number of estimates, a huge proportion of Americans have tasted file-sharing technology. A study by Ipsos Insight in September 2002 estimated that 60 million Americans had downloaded music, 28% of Americans older than 12. A study by the NPD group, quoted in the New York Times, estimated that 43 million citizens used file-sharing networks to exchange content in May 2003. The vast majority of these are not kids. Whatever the actual figure, a massive quantity of content is being taken on these networks. The ease and inexpensiveness of file-sharing networks have inspired millions to enjoy music in a way they hadn't done before. The ease and inexpensiveness of file-sharing networks have inspired millions to enjoy music in a way that they hadn't before. Some of this enjoying involves copyright infringement. Some of it does not. And even among the part that is technically copyright infringement, calculating the actual harm to copyright owners is more complicated than one might think. So consider, a bit more carefully than the polarized voices around this debate usually do, the kinds of sharing that file sharing enables and the kinds of harm it entails. File sharers share different kinds of content. There are some who use sharing networks as substitutes for purchasing content. Thus, when a new Madonna CD is released, rather than buying the CD, these users simply take it.
We are the pirates!
Piracy on the net.
We are the pirates!
Of the internet. Ooh, I go online with them any day.
We are the pirates! We are the pirates!
Of the internet.
It's technically simple, but downloading tracks that are protected by copyright is considered theft.
We know that millions of people simultaneously are sharing billions of unauthorized files.
The RIAA blames internet piracy for the trend, though there are many other causes that could account for this drop. SoundScan, for example, reports a more than 20% drop in the number of CDs released since 1999. That no doubt accounts for some of the decrease in sales. Rising prices could account for at least some of the loss. From 1999 to 2001, the average price of a CD rose 7.2%, from $13.04 to $14.19. Competition from other forms of media could also account for some of the decline. As Jane Black of Businessweek notes, the soundtrack to the film High Fidelity has a list price of $18.98. You could get the whole movie on DVD for $19.99. But let's assume the RIAA is right and all of the decline in CD sales is because of internet sharing. Here's the rub. In the same period that the RIAA estimates that 803 million CDs were sold, the RIAA estimates that 2.1 billion CDs were downloaded for free.
And what happens is the law eventually catches up and strikes a balance to make sure that this new great form of creativity is not sense without sense burdened by the law of copyright. Now, you know, I totally agree with the Authors Guild and the importance of copyright, and I am absolutely a believer in copyright. And so everything said about the need of copyright to support incentives, I totally am with. But you know, just because you're for copyright doesn't mean you can't criticize a law that's gone insanely out of control.
Although 2.6 times the total number of CDs sold were downloaded for free, sales revenue fell by just 6.7%. There are too many different things happening at the same time to explain these numbers definitively, but one conclusion is unavoidable. The recording industry constantly asks, what's the difference between downloading a song and stealing a CD? But their own numbers reveal the difference. If I steal a CD, then there is one less CD to sell. Every taking is a lost sale.
Downloading.
On the basis of the numbers that RIAA provides, it is absolutely clear that the same is not true of downloads.
Downloading.
If every download were a lost sale, if every use of Kazaa robbed the author of his profit, then the industry would have suffered a 100% drop in sales last year, not a 7% drop.
Listen! Downloading.
You can't criminalize 60 million people.
If 2.6 times the number of CDs sold were downloaded for free, and yet sales revenue dropped by just 6.7%, then there is a huge difference between downloading a song and stealing a CD.
I got all the records.
These are the harms, alleged and perhaps exaggerated, but let's assume real. What of the benefits? File sharing may impose costs on the recording industry. What value does it produce in addition to these costs?
And that really has kind of held steady.
I've got all the records that we used to share.
One benefit is type C sharing, making available content that is technically still under copyright but is no longer commercially available. This is not a small category of content. There are millions of tracks that are no longer commercially available. And while it's conceivable that some of this content is not available because the artist producing the content doesn't want it to be made available, the vast majority of it is unavailable solely because the publisher or the distributor has decided it no longer makes economic sense to the company to make it available. In real space, long before the internet, the market had a simple response to this problem.
I wanna be free.
Used book and record sales. There are thousands of used book and used record stores in America today. These stores buy content from owners, then sell the content they buy. And under American copyright law, when they buy and sell this content, even if the content is still under copyright, the copyright owner doesn't get a dime. Used book and record stores are commercial entities. Their owners make money from the content they sell, but as with cable companies before statutory licensing, they don't have to pay the copyright owner for the content they sell. Type C sharing, then, is very much like used bookstores or used record stores. It is different, of course, because the person making the content available isn't making money from making the content available. It is also different, of course, because in real space, when I sell a record, I don't have it anymore. While in cyberspace, when someone shares my 1949 recording of Bernstein's Two Love Songs, I still have it. That difference would matter economically if the owner of the 1949 copyright were selling the record in competition to my sharing. But we're talking about the class of content that is not currently commercially available. The internet is making it available through cooperative sharing without competing with the market. It may well be, all things considered, that it would be better if the copyright owner got something from this trade. But just because it may well be better, it doesn't follow that it would be good to ban used bookstores. Or, put differently, if you think that Type C sharing should be stopped, do you think that libraries and used bookstores should be shut as well? Finally, and perhaps most importantly, file sharing networks enable Type D sharing to occur, the sharing of content that copyright owners want to have shared, or for which there is no continuing copyright. This sharing clearly benefits authors and society. Science fiction author Cory Doctorow, for example, released his first novel, Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom, both free online and in bookstores on the same day. His and his publisher's thinking was that the online distribution would be a great advertisement for the real book. People would read part online and then decide whether they liked the book or not. If they liked it, they would be more likely to buy it. Doctorow's content is Type D content. If sharing networks enable his work to be spread, then both he and society are better off. Actually, much better off. It is a great book. Likewise for work in the public domain. This sharing benefits society with no legal harm to authors at all. If efforts to solve the problem of Type A sharing destroy the opportunity for Type D sharing, then we lose something important in order to protect Type A content. The point throughout is this. While the recording industry understandably says, "This is how much we've lost," we must also ask, how much has society gained from P2P sharing?
A lot of you have seen glimpses of kids working on computers and are probably wondering what they're doing. Well, we asked three college-age students to spend 2 days with us and download as many music files as possible from easily accessible websites. In a couple of days, they've downloaded nearly 6,000 songs.
It's how you look at Buccaneers that makes them bad or good. And I see us as members of a noble brotherhood.
Hey ho ho!
Oh, I love it! Tis poetry in motion.
And before we lose our tempers, we will always count to 10.
On occasion, there may be someone you have to execute.
And when you're a professional pirate,
you don't have to wear a suit.
And participate, you can.
With just a few clicks, free of charge from the internet.
LA Plush.
You know, you're tuned in tonight.
Be careful.
You're tuned in tonight because you're passionate about the music.
Be careful.
That very special connection between the fan and the artist is an historically important partnership. One which enriches and entertains the public, motivating and sustaining the creator.
Be careful.
In recent years, industry consolidation combined with the unbridled advance of the internet has created a disturbing disconnect.
I am so out of the loop
in our relationship.
I'm sorry, I took your time. I am the poem that doesn't rhyme.
Keep singing! Bomb da da bomb da bang a bang, diddy diddy poop in the cocky dookie bucky mini mini. Bomb da da bomb da bang a bang.
Would the store, whether it's Virgin Megastore or Tower, think that the person who stuffed his overcoat with 20 CDs and walked out without paying was his consumer? I doubt it.
When you take a book from Barnes & Noble, it has one less book to sell. By contrast, when you take an MP3 from a computer network, there is not one less CD that can be sold.
Downloading. I would probably buy CDs if they were like $5, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, to make for the record companies to make these CDs, they mass produce them, it can't cost them more than like 20 cents a CD. They're selling them for $20, you know? It's kind of like a slap in the face, you know what I'm saying?
You can't criminalize 50 million people.
Downloading.
Can you do that?
No question, the most insidious virus in the midst of this illegal downloading of music is piracy on the net.
Can you do it?
I got the latest tracks to be on
love. I know I ain't much, but you can have me for free.
And trends say it's going to promise to get much, much worse.
Download.
It's easy. It's exciting. It's free.
Download.
I'm a Neil Diamond, Barry Manilow kind of girl, you know what I mean?
No request is too extreme. Anything your heart desires will come to you.
What we need when we say that
piracy.
Piracy from poppy to trippy.
And from YouTube to
piracy.
Well, YouTube.
Piracy on the net. It goes by many names, and its apologists offer a myriad of excuses.
So the pound
rip.
The pound rip is with the user rather than the fan.
Ripping of music.
Not the fan, not the record company.
The legal file sharing.
Which quite honestly, I believe is the way it should be.
The guys have had the gun to the artist's head forever because they own the trucks, and suddenly the trucks don't matter.
And I think that the record industry should encourage
rip
fans to get more involved in music, because that way
rip
ultimately lies the true dedication to music, and those people will be with you for a very long time.
Myriad of excuses.
Art has cried. Correct as art.
This illegal file sharing and ripping of music is pervasive, out of control, and it's oh so criminal.
Maybe he's right.
So criminal.
Maybe there is something the matter with me.
And it's oh so criminal.
I just don't see how a world that makes such wonderful things could be bad.
You know, we could, like, go to jail for this.
Copywriting things, man.
You know, we could, like, go to jail for this.
Copywriting things, man.
You know, we could, like, go to jail.
But everybody does it.
Copywriting things, man.
Copyright requirements.
I'm not even sure that's legal.
I'm not the thief, the government is.
Copyright requirements.
I'm not even sure that's legal.
Your current entire activity. Old company is committed. Why not? Your current entire activity.
I mean, we're stealing as we speak.
You know, we could, like, go to jail for this.
I'm not even sure that's legal.
I mean, we're stealing as we speak.
Increasingly, we're seeing the technology, both because of the government and because of industry, being used to regain control over citizens.
A
are right to exchange information over the net, and that the music industry is trying to maintain total control over people's listening habits.
In recent years, industry consolidation has created a disturbing disconnect in our relationship. This illegal industry consolidation is pervasive, out of control, and it's oh so criminal. And trends say that it's going to promise to get much, much worse. Many of the nominees here tonight, especially the new and less established artists, are in immediate danger of being marginalized out of our business. Industry consolidation is stealing their livelihood one digital file at a time, leaving their musical dreams haplessly snared in this worldwide web of theft and indifference.
Microphone two.
I'll address the audience because out of five commissioners, two are AWOL, and two seem to agree, at least in part, with our grievances. We are not fooled by this facade of a democratic process. We are surrounded by police, police with tasers for that matter. We are relegated to the end of the night after corporate media has gone. They are gone, they have left, independent media remains. We are forced to jump through ticketing hoops, lines, wait, and then patiently sit and wait for our turn in line to beg and plead for changes before people who do not have the power or desire to grant our wishes. This is pseudo-accountability. So go back to DC and make your rules. We'll continue to break them.
No question, the most insidious virus in the midst of this illegal industry consolidation is the RIAA. Songwriters, singers, musicians, labels, publishers, the entire music food chain is at serious risk. This problem's not going to be solved in short order. It's going to require education, leadership from Washington, and true diligence to help our fans, that would be you, to embrace this life or death issue and support our artistic community by only downloading your music from
the internet.
Hey gang.
Well, you don't like plundering, eh? Shiver me timbers.
Some say that pirates steal and should be feared and hated. I say we're victims of bad press. It's all exaggerated. We'd never stab you in the back. We'd never lie or cheat. We're just about the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet.
And I'm here to announce in front of everyone, we're still going to download music free off of the internet. And there's not a thing anyone can do about it.